Please be seated. Now for the message, Mr. Camerata.
Greetings, folks. Everybody from Sholo, Phoenix, Peoria, Glendale, Buckeye, Surprise, Hawaii. Are we hooked up to Hawaii? Well, I'll see you there soon. It is such a pleasure to be here among God's people, and I really like the idea that my split sermon is going to be abbreviated, so I'll keep it down to about an hour. Just kidding. Years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Israel and visit the fortress of Masada. We went up to the fortress in a cable car. But for the way down, we walked. I chose to walk. And it was nice. It was not very hard. A friend of mine from Seattle, who he was at this point, those were many years ago, and I can't remember what I did yesterday. He was from Seattle, and he decided to run down the trail. As he passed me, I called out to him to stop. You're going to fall and trip if you're not careful. Well, he did not fall. He did not trip. But 100 yards to the bottom of the trail, I tripped and stumbled. I've got experience now in tripping and stumbling, as many people know here. I damaged my camera. I damaged my finger. I damaged my knee. And I thought, no problem. I could fix the camera. And I think it cost me at that time about $60 to fix it. But that was still quite a bit of money. But the knee was another problem. I had a terrible gash and it bled. And people told me, because we were getting ready to go to the Dead Sea, which is so concentrated with salt. And they said, you can't go in there, not with that gash. And I thought, I am 5,000 miles away from home, and I'm going in the water. I went in the water. The pain was excruciating. And I got an infection later anyway, and it lasted, I'd say, a minimum of 1 to 2 weeks. How many of us have stumbled over a little stone in our lives? How many go through life constantly hurting about something, constantly upset about a stone, something that somebody did to us? And we just grieve and we agonize. It's like me when I was a little boy. I loved taking that stick and swirling it through a mud puddle and watching the swirls. That was my entertainment. We didn't have fancy TVs in those days. Anyway, that was my form of entertainment. And what causes people to stumble in life? Why do we stumble? Why do we falter? The title of my message is, Christ, or is Christ, a stone of stumbling? And my synopsis is, as we approach the Day of Trumpets on Monday, recall that Christ is called a stone of stumbling by detractors, but he is also King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming again. What do we as individuals do with this information? What do we do with the little stones in our lives? I'm going to make a note here of when I started, because I don't want to go over that 1 hour limit. So what about that stone of stumbling? About a month ago, maybe a little bit more now, I read something in the book of Isaiah, and I read this footnote, and I thought it hit the nail on the head. Christ our Savior would suffer for the sins of all people. Who would believe that God would save mankind through a humble, suffering servant rather than a glorious king? Christ our Savior has been equated with the expression stone of stumbling. You could turn to Isaiah 8:11-14. I'm going to try something new and read it in my smart aleck phone. This is supposed to be really good. I may have to resort to the other method, but Isaiah 8:11. And I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the ways of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all this people call conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense for some people, and a rock stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Why did they stumble? Because they wanted to do things their own way. They did not want to obey God in their own minds, in their own hearts, in their lives, and as an example to others around them. Continuing, in anticipation of the New Testament, we can also read this in Isaiah, and I would recommend that you read the entirety of this. I'm going to pick out a few select verses. Read Isaiah 53:1-12. Isaiah 53:1-12. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? In verse 2, for he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. In verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. We know the story of the New Testament. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We know that there's so many things in the New Testament that refer to this. Again, referring to Christ, we go to verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Then skipping to verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit found in his mouth. What kind of an example Christ was for us. And then we look at verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressions. Christ had no sin of his own. He died for you and me. But some people cannot accept that, and they stumble over these words in the Bible. Let's also read in Isaiah 8, 13 to 14. Isaiah 8, 13 and 14. However, I'm going to skip over that momentarily. In verse 15, it says, "And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken." Do we want to be counted among those people that have been snared and stumbled over the sayings of Jesus Christ, over the sayings of Scripture? So many people stumble this day and age. Let's skip now to the New Testament in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Actually, chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 6 to 9. "For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but not for those who do not believe," because they stumble over the words of God. "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone," as some verses will say, the chief cornerstone, "and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. It is not natural for mankind to just go about and do the right thing. And it's sometimes incomprehensible for people to think that they sinned. A grievous sin. A little old lady years ago, and I've mentioned this before, I was just learning the basics of the Scriptures. And I asked her, 'Have you ever sinned?' And she looked at me, and her sweet elderly voice said, 'No, I never have sinned.'" They haven't comprehended. Most of the world does not comprehend what you understand. Repeating again, "A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But," in verse 9, "you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." We may be in that great light, but we need to be careful as individuals, because it's a natural proclivity for people to reject the words of Christ and stumble and do their own things. So we need to be careful that we don't fall into the trap, as others have, of letting Christ be a stone of stumbling. Remember, Christ is our Redeemer, and he is coming again, as we will learn more on this coming trumpets. Let's turn to Isaiah 49:8. I will read this out of my notes. Isaiah 49:8. "Thus says the Lord, 'In a time of favor, I have answered you. In a day of salvation, I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages.'" There is hope in Scripture. In verse 49:26, it says, "Then all flesh shall know that I am the Lord your Savior, and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. When I first came into the church, let's face it, the mid-60s were scary times also, with the threat of nuclear war. And I found sanctuary in the words of Christ, in the words of the Bible. Each one of us can have that sanctuary and hope in a soon coming kingdom. Let's also take a look at Isaiah 51:4. Give attention. This is Isaiah 51:4. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for the law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. Not just one or two people, peoples. And skipping over to verse 7 to 8, Isaiah 51, 7 to 8. Hearken unto me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear you not the reproach of men. How many people go around walking in trepidation and thinking something horrible will happen to them if they obey Christ? Some people do that. Fear you not the reproach of men, neither be you afraid of their revilings. And verse 8, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. In my closet, I have a nice pinstripe suit. For a while, it didn't fit around the middle. I think it shrunk, but I think it has since grown. The big problem with it, it was an all-wool suit. And it has these little pinholes in it. I've got to go out and buy a new suit sometime. But you can understand how things happen in our lives. We should ask ourselves, we who are on Facebook, we who have neighbors, we who have family strife and struggles, we should ask ourselves, how can anyone declare the law is done away? If there is no law, there is no sin. If there is no sin, there is no problem in the world. Wait a minute. Have you read even the mildest and weakest headlines? Our news media is trafficking in gossip, in rumor, and yet killings, murder, mayhem continue to go on. It's not because they love Jesus. Contrary, they don't. And it is so easy to get angry and caught up in that trap. Let me read from John 11:10. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. How many of you have gone into a really dark cave, and I've mentioned this before, go into the Carlsbad Caverns and wait for them to turn off the lights and then hope the circuit is not broken, because you will never, ever find your way out of there unless somebody brings some light. I could not believe the intensity. If you think dark nights are dark, Carlsbad Caverns with no light is the darkest I have ever seen in my life. Christ is our Redeemer, and there is a strong link between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And remember something, too, that most of the New Testament was not codified for roughly 80 to 90 years after Christ. And the important things in the New Testament are quotes from the Old. Yes, there's certain things that we do, certain ways that we live, that we don't have to follow certain physical patterns. but the spiritual intent has been there since the very beginning of mankind. Mankind's ways, as we know, are far, far away from the Lord. Repentance. What is repentance? It means turn around and go the other way. I was up in northern Arizona, and my GPS, I think it was flawed. I could not go from Winslow to Flagstaff. Road closed because of storms. And I knew there had to be another way to go, so I headed south. My GPS, which is like a bad Bible or a bad book, it says, turn around and go the other way. 5 minutes later, turn around and go the other way. No! I knew enough about that path that eventually I saw the sign and said, Camp Verde, this way. So I was able to skirt around that bleak, tiresome area. And there were not a lot of good road signs, but know the scriptures and you have good road signs. Repentance has a lot to do with helping others to be maintaining strong doctrine, to treating people well, and to changing the self. I think I may have asked somebody, who among us is perfect? Is there anybody here that wants to raise their hand? I just see somebody scratching their chin. That's it. Nobody knows like we know that we must change our lives. What causes people to stumble? What are the things that cause us to stumble as Christians? Let's turn to Luke 12, 19 to 26. Luke 12, 19 to 26. And actually, I'm only going to read Luke 12, 19, and then 20 to 26. So it is. That is what it was meant to be. My notes, I don't know who did these notes. I'm going to have to fire him. Luke 12, 19 to 26. And I will say to you, my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Don't we just love that? But verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? In verse 21. So is the one who lays up for treasure for himself and is not rich toward God? What you eat, verse 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Sometimes we really do get our priorities. I know I have gotten my priorities off. And I've prayed to God, help me set that right course. Each of us should want that right course. In verse 23, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. In verse 24, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. How many of us have gone through struggles and trials and then something happens and things turn around? They don't always turn around when we want. I was out of work once for 26 weeks. And it was scaring me spitless. And It's like severance pay ended on a Friday. The new job started on a Monday. Wow. God is there for us. Of how much more value are you than the birds? In verse 25, and which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Boy, sometimes anxiety removes those extra hours from your life. And if then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Oh, I just got to have that big TV. Nothing wrong with possessions, but if they become a priority, they become a stumbling block. Are we as individuals prepared to set the right example in this age of decline? Or do we just sit back and become a part of the decline and a part of the problem? I just happened to see a little blurb on the internet, and it was a German newspaper in English. You could have it both ways if you know German. And it talked about how Germany is moving into the Middle East. And there was one thing that was said that really stood out. They wanted to get these weapons onto one side or the other. And yet they were asked, Germany was asked, well, what happens if those weapons falls into the hands of the radicals? And they thought, well, we'll just take our chances. We're setting up stages on the world scene that the direction they go can be extremely catastrophic, even as the days before World War II were catastrophic and got increasingly worse. Having momentary periods of safety when it was declared with a peace treaty, peace in our time. Within months, war started. Hope lies in the scriptures. Hope is there for each one of us. But we need to remember, too, and this is very important, every one of us has some sort of talent. No matter who you are, you have a talent that no others have. But we cannot depend solely on our talents. Somewhere along the line, we will look and we will see, God, help me. Things may look good now, but what will they be down a week or two later? What will happen? Depend on God. He will open the doors when the time is needed. Remember the decline of the nations. Keep that in your mind. I know we could play games and do this and that on the internet and have pleasing pictures and everything. But the reality is, the world is in trouble. Will God hold back the time? Time remains to see. Not just we in the church. The whole world stumbles on confusion. So much confusion, so much arrogance, arguing, fighting, bickering. I like this analogy that somebody gave me. He said, your feelings, your way of thinking is in the windshield wiper. And he said, every time it goes click, 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 He said, it is telling you, dumb guy, dumb guy, dumb guy. I can't help but to remember that when it rains here. Well, thankfully, we're not reminded that much. But then again, maybe it would be better. Things, the desert might blossom as a rose. Let's draw this to a conclusion. What will cause each of us to stumble before the day of the Lord? On a recent hiking trip, and here's the confession, some may not know this, I stumbled not once, but twice. The first time was a little carelessness on my part. The second time, it could have been pretty serious. You know, when you tear a muscle on your leg and you still have over 3 miles to walk, it worked out. But I still have that lump on my thigh. We need to be careful in our life. We need to be careful about coarse jokes. And sometimes, you know, I'm pretty careless myself, and I apologize to anybody if I've said some silly things that may have hurt feelings. And I really do try to turn the jokes back on me. I don't mean to hurt anyone. But we need to be careful of backbiting, bickering, and belittling. I have often thought, we as a people, we may not stumble on the big things of theology, things about holy days, things that really troubled us over 20 years ago. Big things. But we could stumble on those little things, the little interactions that don't quite go the way I would like it. And I use the term I. I like to do things a certain way, but you're in a group and we are admonished to seek counsel, to seek fellowship, to be together in unity and harmony. The people of the New Testament were not always that way, and you could read this. They had differences of opinion, but the vast majority, except for some few, the vast majority stayed the course. They couldn't be in the same room together sometimes, but they stayed the course with the truth of God. But we as individuals are here in training. And ultimately, we can be there at the return of Christ. And the dead will be raised in the twinkling of an eye. And we shall meet the Lord and see him as he is. I'd like to read a final set of scriptures, Isaiah 11, 6 to 9. Before going on, remember all the little things that could cause us to falter, to weaken, all the little things that could cause us to have strife. Put that to rest. And remember this from Isaiah 11, 6 to 9. Isaiah 11, 6 to 9. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow, the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. It's funny to see cats, household cats, eat grass. We wonder, how does this happen? I thought they were just light rats and mice and rabbits, but they'll eat grass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Don't try that. You see a poisonous snake, step away. But while you step away, be careful that you don't stumble. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Remember to be on guard and think of that glorious future that is in store for each of us.